something like that.
I don't know. Maybe. What do you guys think? That's kind of rude, and I hope you'll forgive me, but I couldn't stand it. I don't know what Satan looks like, guys. Maybe he looks something like that. I guess that's the picture that's painted. Hollywood has some pretty amazing ideas. Mel Gibson came up with some ideas of what Satan looks like. And I don't know what he looks like. I know my high school alma mater, the name of our mascot was the Green Devil. And so in all our football games and stuff like that, a guy would dress up like a Green Devil with horns and stuff like that. And maybe that's what he looks like. I don't know. Or like that creepy dude. Thing is, maybe what frightens me more than anything is that sometimes I think it can appear very beautiful and alluring. Like maybe it's more like one of these, people that can change into anything. I don't know for sure, but I know I've seen some pretty strange things and I don't get it and I don't understand it. And I know that he's the tempter, and there's certain ways that each one of us is tempted. I know he's powerful. I know we need to take him serious. It was fun for me to scare you right then, but to slap you back into being sober and tracking with me here. I don't know. But what scares me most of all is maybe is we don't always identify it. Maybe we always can't see him. Maybe sometimes it's actually attractive. And maybe sometimes it's even in, even uses people, your friends. And you say, get behind me, Satan. I'm going this way. I think we're always constantly, he's looking for a chance to devour us, to pounce on us. For when we're weak, to get there right then, right at the right time. Just waiting for you. Wham! Whatever it might be. Look at these verses. We live in a deceived world and culture. Would you agree? Yeah. My goodness, look around you. I am frightened, guys. And there is a train a-coming. There needs to be a wake-up call for me and for you. This world that we live in, it's falling apart. That's not the words I'm tempted to use here. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. This world. But I'm afraid, and I really sense Paul's heart here, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. I love that version. Paul said, I love you. He's talking to his church. I love you guys. And I'm worried that you're going to be deceived somehow, some way, and drawn away from just a pure and simple devotion to Christ. And it's happening in our world. You can see it. People are turning away from that. This quote from Daniel Webster: if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we or our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. just waiting to devour us. We are in a spiritual battle. Like it or not, you have been placed in a spiritual battle. And you might say, you know what? I'm going along pretty good and things are all right with me. And I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not faced with much spiritual battle at all. Well, you've probably been taken out of the game. You're probably a non-factor in the game. What God's called us to. You say, well, I like it there. Thank you very much. We're called to be on the offensive. This life we're living is an offensive. God has much that he wants to do and train us up for eternity. There is going to be a judgment day. And for us to be righteous and have our righteous card with us, our judgment, I think, is going to be far different from those who are not carrying a righteous card. But nonetheless, there will be a judgment and you and I are going to be judged on what we did for our Savior, for Jesus Christ, what we did for him and how we lived our lives and what difference we made and how many people we loved and how many people we cried with and how many people we helped. There will be a day when we'll be called on the carpet. Here's this battle. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I would like to think that I could take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that, I don't know about you, but that doesn't always happen for me. But that's what we're called to do. There's this battle going on. There's a spiritual warfare going on, and we're right in the middle of it. No harm befalls the righteous. Christ has promised. He died on the cross for us, and he's protecting us. He'll take care of us. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yikes. It's like, I use a Pearl Harbor example. Maybe it's a little analogy here. Think back when the attack on Pearl Harbor happened. I can picture myself as a young 18-year-old young man. When I was 18, I mean, I had Hawaii on my mind. That would be a good place for me to go. So if we were signing up to go to war and there was a good chance that I would be going to Hawaii, I'd be there to sign up. I said, yes, I want to fight for my country on the beaches of Oahu. Can you imagine that, though? It's like an 18-year-old guy or gal gets sent to boot camp in Hawaii. I don't care. I will do my boot camp in Hawaii. Basic training, do it there, you bet. And I mean, no disrespect to the people that fought for our country at all in this. But I'm thinking that maybe we weren't at full alert. I'm thinking that maybe a lot of our American forces maybe weren't at full alert. Maybe they weren't at their highest potential. And you know what? That is the state of our world. And just like at Pearl Harbor, the Japanese were waiting until we were lulled to sleep and they attacked us. Wham! And that's what Satan, that's just an analogy of what could happen if we're lulled out of this battle. If we don't keep up our guard, if we don't go on the offensive, if we're not prepared. Men and women, we need to be prepared in this world. You and I, we need to have our full armor. We need to be ready. I like this, what Phil Downer has to say. He's a a guy in men's ministries that I really like his books and what he's doing. Today we are experiencing a battle over the debasement of culture, and the Christian is called to be a soldier in the battle, reaching people for Jesus Christ and letting him change them. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. That's where the power is. That's where your strength is. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. That's where our protection is. That's where our armor comes from. It all comes from the Lord. Lots of times in basic training and different army maneuvers and stuff all over the world, when there's not actually a combat going on, they'll just constantly go over exercises. They take these different types of equipment and use it and over and over and over, and take their guns and M16s and take them apart till they can take them apart in their sleep. And these guys are thinking, you know what? There's probably not going to be a war going on. And the guy overseeing them says, I don't care. You will learn how to do that in your sleep because I want you to be protected if it does happen. Be prepared, be prepared, be prepared. There's three primary offensive weapons that I think each of us need to be equipped with. And you've all heard them before. It's nothing new. But maybe today is the day that God will convict you and you'll put your faith into action. Let's look at these. The Word of God. You've heard that. Read the Word. Read the Word. Read the Word. Read the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, in the day, a helmet, you would know who was on whose side. Because the helmet, very clearly, even in the Crusades, the helmet, very clearly, if you saw that helmet, you knew whose side they were on. You knew whose side, that you knew if they were Christians or not. Even like now in football, they wear these helmets and everybody has their own, their logo on there. Or baseball, everybody has a hat. You know who they play for. You know whose team they're on. You know whose side they're on. The helmet of salvation, whose side are you on? Do people in your home, in your office, do your friends know where you stand? Whose side you're on? Whose helmet you're wearing? The helmet of salvation. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And yes, you have sinned. And yes, you will sin. And someone had to die for those sins. And Jesus Christ did. And those who have accepted that and received that, that's a salvation story. That they are promised eternal life. I am convinced that I will have eternal life. I'm 100% sure. The helmet of salvation. I'm 100% sure. It's like I grew up in Iowa. The farmers are pretty good. A good farmer is pretty good about keeping a log. He says, well, you know, 3 weeks before Mother's Day, I had my tractor out in the field and I disced it. I turned all the dirt up. Week after that, I raked it and made it all good. Week after that, I planted seeds. Now, 4th of July, because I did these things, I can go back and look at that date. When I wrote down, because I did those things, the 4th of July, I should have knee-high corn if I'm living in Iowa. Should have corn knee-high. The point is, have you planted your flag? Do you know when you made up your mind? Do you have it written down somewhere? Do you have a log somewhere where you can go and say, I planted my flag that day. I remember a good brother shared the gospel with me, and I made up my mind right there. Right there, March 28th, 1996. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, at that point, I signed up. I put my faith in that. That's what changed me. God came into my life and changed me at that time, and now I'm different. And I will always be different. And I'm living my life different. And I hope you can look at my life and say, yes, he is living his life different. Something's changed. The sword of the Spirit. If you can think of this just coming out of a sheath, your Bible, shing,
It's your sword. A double-edged sword, the Bible tells us, is the Word. The Holy Spirit, God, and I don't know how it works. I don't know if there's smoke or something. But He uses the Word and He speaks to you. And it says it can cut marrow and bone. And it convicts you. And it convinces you between right and wrong. And it stops you in the event of temptation, which will come. It's the Word that does that. Sometimes I like to think of it like a machete. And I'm out in the jungle, and there's just all these weed things, and probably some bullheads too on the ground. And I'm trying to get through there, and shoo, shoo. And I don't know what I'm doing. I can't see anything, but I'm still cutting these stalks, and I'm moving. I'm going forward, going forward. And every once in a while, there's just little rays of sunshine, or water, or a blessing, or a wife, and kids. God loves me so much that He helps me with all these things. Taste. Smells. There's a Flatiron Park, this place that I like to walk. There's this one part where I walk and pray. And I swear I can smell God there. It's just so beautiful. There's this bush there. It's like, oh my goodness. Is that your cologne? Are you that close to me? He says, yes. I'm right here with you. No harm will befall the righteous. I'm here with you, helping you in this. You are not alone. There's a lot of verses about the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Are you thoroughly equipped for every good work? And I ask you, brothers and sisters, and I ask myself, have I taught, rebuked, corrected, or trained anybody this week? Has anybody done that to me? Is that happening in my world? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training with this Word. Is that happening? That convicts me. Because it's not all the time. But I think it needs to be. And I need to strive for that. And I need to get up earlier for that. And I need to put away childish things, and I need to step out on the offensive for my God, for my Creator, for what He's created me for. This world is just a temporary thing. No wonder it feels so weird a lot of the time. It's just a preparation for eternity in heaven with God that's going to be so much better than this dump. And then there's things that you can look at. Oh, there's a sunrise. There's childbirth. There's some really beautiful things in God's creation. But it's nothing. It pales in comparison to where we're headed. Our destiny is eternity. It pales in comparison to where we're headed. God says, you need to be on the offensive. You need to be ready. Let's go. Let's go. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Without the Word, I think we're to have such a risk, such a danger of living our lives out with the intentions of our own heart. Because you don't have the Word, and if you don't have God in there to help you make your decisions, and you're making ungodly decisions, you're going to crash and burn. I'm going to crash and burn, and I do. But every once in a while, I need a kick in the butt. And typically, it's from my good buddy, Bill Young. It's like, let's go this way. He inspires me. He inspires me. And I try to put myself around people where I can imitate their faith. And there's a lot of people involved in this movement and other movements. But I'm involved in this one. This is my world. And there's men that I look to that I want to imitate their faith. They are winning. And we are called to run this race in such a way to win the prize. Run the race in such a way to win the prize. We're called to run the race. And I want to learn how to do that. And how I do that is, I think, being around other people that are doing it. Good old George Washington, it is impossible rightly to govern the world without God and the Bible. What happened to those men?
What happened to our forefathers? From what I read and from what I research and look, they were men of God. And they came to America because Jesus Christ was their Lord, and they were being led by God. I believe that with all my heart. Men like George Washington says, well, if we're going to make a constitution, God's going to be in it. If we're going to have money right on it, it's going to say, in God we trust. And even to this day, a lot of those things stand. But slowly but surely, our world is just throwing it out. No, no, those days are gone. We don't need God in the picture anymore. We don't need the Ten Commandments. We don't need God. Come on, come on. Get real. This world is pathetic. And I'm part of it. If all of us were to get really convicted and our relationship with God was online, I think Jesus will come back. We're united with our brothers and sisters and churches across this valley, across this world, and all of us were saying, yeah, yes, we're in this. We're united. We're in this. Let's run this race. You run over there. I'll run over here. We'll get there. You realize how quickly God would say, that's what I'm looking for. As it says, we are the bride of Christ. So He's preparing us. So think of a wedding morning where the bride is being prepared. Her hair is getting fixed and it's got all these nice smelly things going on, and makeup and the perfect dress and maybe a facial and all this stuff going on. That's, you know, there's certain things going on. Maybe, you know, wearing things that are too tight, but they look good. But God, we are His bride, not me personally, all of us collectively together. We are in preparation for this beautiful reunion. We're in preparation for that. He's, oh, you over there, we need a little bit of that and a little bit of this. You collectively, the body, the church's body, you are my bride and I'm calling you to myself. And once you're just the way I want it, once you're just the way I want it, I'll be there. I prayed for that today. Could today be that day? Because I would like to step into that amazing eternity. Maybe it's already started. I just want to be with God. So we're called to do. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, our just do it little excursion that we did at the Jordan Park, that was, we put our faith in action. We felt we got to put our faith in action. So for 6 years of this church's life, each summer we go and we give things away. So we really feel that that's what God's called us to do. Just go and give of yourselves and what you have. That's faith in action. Because you can read the word and it could just, whew, whew. Yeah, I read a lot today. Well, did you do anything? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's what we're called to do. Faith is an action. It's a stepping out. Faith is action. And doing something about it. Being on the offensive. Getting up a little bit earlier so you can listen to the word. My goodness, if you read the newspaper, if you have time to read the newspaper or listen to a news program throughout your day, but you don't have time to be in the word or pray, oh my, what's wrong with that picture? And that's the state of our world. We don't have time to be in the word, to build my convictions, to know right from wrong. I don't know how to pray, so it's really weird for me, so I just don't do it. Oh my, we're missing it. Do what it says. The shield of faith. It's the second offensive weapon. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So I just have to picture these flaming arrows just coming shooting at me. And the shield of faith, what a shield in the day was it had leather on it, and you'd dip it in water, and you could extinguish the fields. But a person who is carrying a shield would rather die than lose it. A shield meant
that had their family crest on it. And it's probably handed down and specially made, and it probably spent everything that they had on the shield. It was everything. Their faith. See, that's an object lesson. Your faith is everything. It is your shield. Last week, I think 5 people got baptized up at Jackson, and it was awesome. To me, that's just a beautiful picture of obedience. People saying, there's my family crest right there. And that's all baptism is to me. It's just like, I love Jesus Christ. He died for me. And I want to show the world my family crest. Boy, I almost fell down. I want to show the world my family crest. And my old life being washed away and my new life in Christ. There it is. That's why baptism is just so beautiful. And if you haven't done that, it's time you did. If you prayed to receive Jesus Christ into your life, the next step of obedience is to get baptized and say, in front of the public, yeah, it's uncomfortable. Almost everyone I ever talk to about baptisms, oh, I just can't get up in front of people and do that. Me included. And I was baptized in a really cold lake, by the way. But that's just that. There's my family crest. I believe in Jesus Christ, and it builds up the body. It encourages all the rest of us to see people step out in faith and say, yes, I believe this. Yes, I am saved. And that's what baptism is. And that's what the shield of faith is. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. Okay, let's slow down. Must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Do you believe He exists? Do you believe there's a reward to be on the offensive, to be in the battle, to be in the fight? Do you believe it or not? I think we live in a world of people that just don't know. There's days that I just don't know. I don't want to get off the couch. But I need your help, and I need brothers and sisters around me who know me, who can see into my life so that I can't hide out. There was a time in my life when I was quite a loner. But I'm learning slowly but surely to let other people into my life to see exactly what I'm doing, so they can help me. And that's one of the biggest helps. That's one of the biggest things that has helped me in my walk with Christ, is I've just opened up enough to let some good brothers and sisters, and even my own wife, into my life, to let her look right at me and all that I am. Say, just, you know, if you see anything ever that's out of place, brother, sister, help me out. Let me know. And Jesus told us, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. And I think he's kind of discouraged, right? He just said, since you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Do you think that you could look out the window over here and move one of those mountains? God says you can. And I don't know how that all works either. But I do know that this should be an inspiration to me and you. That nothing is impossible. Why do things hold us back all the time? I think a lot of time we're just crippled and feels like weeds running in mud. It's just like, oh, this is going on, that's going on. No harm befalls the righteous. Nothing is impossible for you. On the offensive. Be on the offensive. And prayer. Be in the Word. Put on your shield of faith. And pray. It's just so simple. We've heard it so many times. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
think this is talking a lot about if you're struggling with something, go to the church for help. Don't run away from the church. Let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Prayer is powerful and effective. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We should be praying for each other. Prayer. Maybe we just need practical things. I'm trying to help. I'm taking a group of high school students this week to Colorado called the High School Leadership Training. And we've been praying. And we've been trying to help each other. And there's just little things that you can come up. Maybe get a friend and email each other a verse every day or at least once a week. There's just lots of little things you can do to help yourself. If you try to do it on your own, I promise you, it probably won't happen. It's just like on New Year's Eve, you say, you know what, I'm going on this diet and this is it. And then a week later, it's like, I'm done with that diet. But we need to let other people in our lives. And I need to get creative. How can I be in the world? If I'm a mom at home, I'll set my oven at a certain time so the buzzer goes off. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna pray for 15 minutes. I'm going to get in the Word for 15 minutes. Or if you've got a bunch of kids, it's hard to find quiet time. I know a lot of godly women that you can read about that would go in and just close the door in their room and go and just have some time, 15 minutes. In the Word, 15 minutes prayer. Get creative. Think of ways that you'll do it. Set your alarm. Every time you go to the bathroom, pray. Have your clock remind you. Because you need to be equipped, brothers and sisters. I don't care what it takes. I don't want to see any of you or myself taken out. And it comes back to prayer. And prayer just seems so simple and humble and humiliating and easy because it is. And that's how much your God loves you, that He just says, just talk to me. Just talk to me. I want to know you more. How come you don't just come and ask me? I think there's so many times when we're just blowing it and He's going, oh, why don't they just ask me? That I could tell them to take a left there and they'd never get lost. I think that's the way God is. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to learn from Him. He wants to show us things. He wants to teach us things. He wants to take us places. He wants us to have marriages that are incredible. He wants us to have life that is incredible. As a single, He wants the very best for you and for me. You know, last week at Jackson, on Friday night, I looked up. It was a clear night. It was about midnight. And the stars, I swear I can almost touch them. Just radiant stars everywhere, as far as you could see. You know, it's like only when you're camping up on a mountain can you see them like that. So, oh, my goodness. I think that God calls you and I to shine like stars in the universe. Did you know that? And really, all they are is dirt with the sun shining off them. And that's what makes them so brilliant. And all we really are is dirt with Christ shining through us. He's created us very intricately. I mean, look at the eyeball. He's put a lot of thought into making us just right so we could heal ourselves when we were cut. I want you to shine like a star in the universe while you're here. Not long ago, I was at a pastor's conference in Missouri. And it was really muggy and hot, so I was walking in the evenings because I love to walk and pray. So I was doing it in the evenings by this golf course because it was too hot during the day. But it was even so dark I could hardly even see the path. So one night, I was walking down this golf course path, and I came around this grove. It was just really dark, and the golf course is over here. And all of a sudden, it just started like
sparkling. This whole grove and trees, this whole section, there were dark places beside it, all around it, but this whole, I mean, like 100 yards long and 50 yards wide, just lit up with lightning bugs. And it was just magical. And I thought, oh, I wish my wife was here. She said, oh, my kids were here. I wish they were here so I could see it. It's by myself. It's like, oh, God, thank you for this. And I just got to thinking, God, you did this for me, didn't you? My best friend is here. And I just kind of walked around and I thought, God, you are so awesome for me. And because it was just incredible and just lighting up all over the place. It looked like a Christmas tree like you'd never seen in your life. It was just coming on and off and off. And I turned back this way and there were stars all over. And I was just, oh, it's almost overwhelming. I thought more about, God, why are you showing me this? And I just think maybe it's like those little lightning bugs. Maybe that's our life. You know, it's just whoo. Maybe every time we pray or praise God, it's whoo. Maybe that's a little show for Him. He wants us to be a light in this dark world. You know why those stars look so bright? Because everything around them is so dark. You know why the lightning bugs look like they're glowing so brightly? Because everything around them is dark. You know why certain Christians just seem to shine and you can just tell they're a Christian and they make such a difference? Because everything around them is dark. Now hopefully God will look down at our body of churches, in my house, in this city, and he'll see a lot of lights making a difference for Him. Because that's what He's called for us to do, to live a life that's different, that shines, that's on the offensive, that's alive. Are you shining? God wants you to. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. You have to be in the Word, put on your shield of faith, and pray, and you will glow. People will say, what's different about you? Jesus Christ. At the workplace, at the construction site. What's different about this person? Well, Jesus Christ. I don't know what else to tell you. Christ and Him crucified, that's all I know. I don't know a whole lot of doctrine. I don't know a whole lot about things. But I know Jesus Christ and Him crucified for my sins. He died on a cross, shed His blood, washed me clean, so that I shine. And that's what you're looking at. And there's nothing else. The glory goes to Him. The glory goes to Him where it belongs. Nothing I could do could ever make me right. Nothing I could do could ever make me clean or make me shine. Other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified on a cross for my sins. To redeem me, sanctify me, set me apart for special use. And you as well. All of us. He sets us apart for special use. He's got things for us to do. I asked my daughter Kelsey to sing a new song that she wrote. So I'd like her to come up now. This is going to be the end of our service here. I'm just going to say a prayer with you, and she's going to sing a song for us. I heard it this week, and it kind of startled her by saying, could you play that this Saturday and Sunday? It's a new song she wrote. But I like the verse that she used that inspired her for this. And we're called to shine like stars in the universe. And we are. But we need God to do that. We need to surrender and be what He's called us to be. So would you join me with a prayer? This would be the end of our service. When she's done with her song, you'd be free to go. But I'm going to close this in a closing prayer. God, thank You that you love us so much that no harm befalls us, God. That we are righteous because of Your death on the cross. Thank You. You loved us so much that You came to this world as a little baby, helpless, so that You could know us better, so that we could know You better, God. So we could know You as a human, so we could relate, so we could understand. Thank You that You came in poverty. Thank You that You are faithful and died on the cross for me, God. Father, I need You more today than yesterday. to help me to shine like a star in the universe, God. And I want to do that for you. But Father, without you, I can do nothing. And I just recognize that and acknowledge that. I just pray, Jesus Christ, I pray you'd come back today. I pray that we could get ready as your bride, God. Prepare us. Thank you that you are and that you're not giving up on us, that you're making us just right. You're making us special, setting us apart. Thank you for that. And I just praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.